Welcome to this completely unnecessary podcast. A Tuesday, February 8th, 2022. We're almost to 2-22-22.
That's crazy. Ian. We have no news today.
That's Ian. I'm Pat. On the show today,
nothing.
Nothing happening.
Not a thing happening. It's insane. We tried as we might. We just couldn't find anything to talk
about.
Nothing
weird happened with an upstart console the past 48 hours, in the news. Nothing at all to discuss. We're talking about a Guitar Hero cheat. Bowser sentenced to 5 years, perhaps. We'll be talking about NFTs every week until we die, and other good stuff. We talked about what we did over the weekend on the exclusive Patreon bonus podcast, patreon.com/CU podcast. Ian went to the zoo. I'm dealing with the return of the field mouse from hell at Castle Country and other tidbits.
It's got a name.
And Scampers.
If you want to know the name. Scamper, no S.
Oh.
If you want to hear about my pet gerbil, you can hear about that too.
The Scamper saga.
Scamper saga.
There's ups and downs, highs and lows. Mm-hmm. It's interesting. Any other stuff that to bring up in the intro? That the Blazers have been demolished. They're trading everyone off from your beloved Trailblazers.
Yeah, I know. Super Bowl week, the whole new work and stiff thing. Like I work Monday through Friday, and then my Saturdays and my Sundays are just,
how does it feel? Woo, Ian?
Gone. I mean, it's fine. I'm just sitting around saving money. That's all I want to do. But it's crazy. Saturday and Sunday are just gone.
You weren't saving money. What are you sitting around saving money? I mean, you're making money.
Making money and saving money.
Yeah. Two incomes, Ian. Two incomes you got.
For now. Going.
But what?
For now. Well, you always say that you don't know how much longer you can do this.
We ain't going another 9 years. I know that.
So
I mean, like,
you know, I'm saving.
It's on the next week.
You're no, saving. I know. So I'm saving.
You should always say whether or not a podcast might end.
I have
at
not
some
necessarily
point.
Been in a position to do much saving in the past.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, you still are working at, you're probably making more than you're working at Luna at your new job, I would think.
Yes, I am.
That's not to poo-poo on Luna, but I mean, you're making more money.
Yeah.
Probably better benefits, you know, coming at you.
Yep. Got health insurance again now.
Thank God.
Yeah. Gotta start making some.
I was going to hit you if you didn't have health insurance again.
Making some appointments.
Yeah. Get the old blood work done.
Yeah.
I'm going nuts now. My phone's trying to charge. You know what? I don't go to bat for Apple ever, but I do like their phone ecosystem. I'm IBM and Windows computer, but the phone, the iOS, is way better than shitty Android for the phone. And yes, it's closed off. And yes, the memory's tied to the board. And yeah, I know that's bad. But the actual interface is clean and nice and simple, and that's what is perfect for a phone. You don't want to fuck around with your phone. Whenever I try to help Frank out with his Android phone, it takes me an hour to find out where the settings are and anything else. And I can't do it. Plus, phones have different Android branches and shit. It's a mess. But my phone's battery since the big update was about 7 months ago, the battery now is shit. It drains faster than the C batteries did on my father's Coleco Telstar Ranger. That they would last a half hour.
Yeah.
So they got in trouble before Apple for doing this, where in order to encourage people to think that their phone is broken or done, whenever they do an iOS update to a certain point, the older phone's battery would basically be leached. At that point.
Yeah, they start to throttle the battery or something like that.
Well, they throttle the CPU and GPU because they realize the new programs don't do it. But in turn, they also got in trouble in the past for fucking up with the battery. So people think, oh, my phone's broken. This battery I have in my phone is less than 2 years old. I got it. Remember I dropped it at the start of the pandemic? I dropped the phone in my bathroom a couple years ago?
Yeah, yeah.
I got the guy replaced my battery as well as the face. A less than two-year-old battery should not be draining in, an hour and a half of use at most. It's nuts. Just looking on Twitter. And so I have a 6S. I love the 6S. The 6S is still supported on, it's the last one I think supported on the new iOS updates. Before that, they're not. They're forcing me to get a new phone and I hate it. Or at least a new used one. I'm not giving you money for a new phone, Apple. You bastards. Sorry.
Just not going to do it?
No, I'll just buy a refurbished or used phone that's a few years old for like half the price. Like, that's what you do. You don't buy a $1,200 new phone. You buy like a 2-year-old phone for like $300, $400. That's what you do. But even saying that makes my stomach turn. But it is what it is.
Just spending that much on a phone in general.
Because I wouldn't have to if the battery was fine. Like, otherwise, it's fine. It's fine. Anything else happening?
I mean, NFT stuff is happening. Bowser was sentenced to 5 years in prison.
Grand Theft Auto 5 is coming to PS5.
Grand Theft Auto 5 is coming? Yeah.
I didn't know it wasn't on PS5 yet.
No, I mean, the announcement of this just feels like one of those things that we all knew was coming and we were just waiting for.
I mean, the PS5's now been out for, what, a year and a half, right? Yeah, it was like fall of 20.
It was, yeah, November of 2020.
It's almost a year and a half. Well, a year and like 4 months, whatever. So I guess they did an upgrade here. New generation for GTA 5 and GTA Online. Yeah, all right. So it's going to look a hell of a lot better, right?
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Well, the word is, I thought you were going to have more on this. The word is that like GTA 6 has been in development. Who the hell knows when it comes out? Because those games take like 5-6 years to make those games, so I have no clue.
I know I've mentioned it before, but I just can't believe that they skipped an entire generation without a brand new.
Yeah, GTA 5 came out like 8 years ago.
Yeah, and I mean, they focused on the online aspect, but it's not like the online aspect was brand new.
But they keep adding. They kept adding to it,
but still, no brand new
GTA game.
Yeah, no brand new GTA game.
It used to be a GTA game every few years, just about.
Yeah.
And now it's like, nah, we'll get to it when we get to it. We'll be 70 before there's one. So that's all I have on that. I actually would want to. This might be the year I get an Xbox Series S. Not just for stuff like this would be fun, but also, you know, the emulation factor, or you can do it in dev mode.
Thing. If you're actually going to do that stuff, I think it would be a good investment. I think just to be able to play some of the modern stuff in a pick up and play way would be pretty good too.
Yeah, and then the Game Pass that Ian loves. We can do that.
The Game Pass that I like.
He doesn't want to appear like he's on any corporate side ever. He doesn't want to over-endorse, so he likes it.
I have had plenty of problems with it on PC.
Oh, on PC. Oh, yeah. The controller, but not with the actual service.
I mean, the service is what it is. Yeah.
All right. We'll jump to it. Google Stadia is going away. We'll jump to that topic right now.
So the word on the street from our man Zach Wisen on the scene, our man on the scene, says that basically Google is looking to quietly end Stadia within the next couple of months. And
it's been 2 years.
Yeah, I mean, like, it was right longer than what we said. But basically, they want to use it as the background for stuff like Peloton and stuff like that. They want to create playable experiences and online demos.
So it's really the streaming technology. That's really what they're.
Yeah, exactly.
Use it as the cloud streaming for other companies.
For other stuff.
Which is smart, because we always knew, like, this is not where it's at for, like, first-person shooters and twitchy games and fighting games. I mean, I was looking up some of the original coverage of this. And like the one guy's review was just like showing him at where they had like giga internet fiber, hits the space bar, puts his hands up, and then the guy jumps. It was like a full second of delay of how bad the latency was on it. Spotted by The Verge, this is from Kotaku here. So it's really The Verge covering it. The service has now apparently been demoted within Google, with Stadia boss Phil Harrison now reporting to Google's vice president of subscription services instead of the hardware boss. It's done.
Yeah. Yeah, you're not reporting to the boss anymore. Basically, so it says that these things are powered by... Recently, people have seen things on Peloton streamed by Google Stream, which is the new name for the Google Stadia technology. So this is... I don't know what will actually happen here. Will they let the service continue on and just not focus on it, since they're going to be using it technically for something else, or are they going to just cut the service?
One person who spoke to Business Insider, Ian, estimated that only about 20% of the focus now is Stadia was on the gaming side. So I think they'll just make sure they still have games coming to it for some people that, for whatever, the 8,000 people that use and love Google Stadia out there. How's that podcast going that attacked us for saying this is dead in the water? That Google Stadia podcast. Remember that?
Oh.
Tweet at me a few times.
Yeah.
How you looking out there, bud?
Everything has fanboys. Everything needs to just capitalize on the moment.
I couldn't fucking believe that. I thought that was a joke. That someone would be like attacking critics of something that obviously was not working for a lot of people and had issues. Like, it's unbelievable. Then again, I guess some things never change.
When
you attack something that is a bad idea, then there's always the fanboys and sycophants.
I'm sorry that some things are bad ideas. Not every idea is a great idea that needs to be seen through.
I'm sorry your Stadia podcast never took off out there. Can you imagine that? There's like a Google Stadia podcast, like number one on the gaming, like iTunes. Everyone needs the hot. What can you talk
the
about?
The hot Stadia
What can
goss.
You possibly do on a weekly Google Stadia podcast? What can you possibly talk about every week?
I don't know. Probably the same shit you talk about on weekly Amico podcasts, which is nothing.
It's just a social club at that point.
Yeah.
Which again, it's a social club.
That's exactly what
it is. We have punch and pie and talk about shit.
Yep.
And just stream. We just. Lengthen this out as much as we can. So Stadia is done. We both said it like be like a year. It's been a couple, but it's still done. It's just, I mean, they weren't paying attention with the past year. I haven't heard of it.
Yeah, no, I have not either. The last thing I heard was my buddy released his game on there that I really wanted to play, and I'm happy that Stadia existed because it pretty much funded
the game. Okay.
It got it completed, and now it's going to be released this year on PlayStation and Xbox and Switch. So
play the game.
It is Gunsport. Gunsport Hyper. I can't remember what they're calling it, but they gave it like a Street Fighter like update.
Logo?
Yeah, okay. Like it's getting some patches and updates.
Oh, it's like the Super Street Fighter update.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Okay, that's cool. Bowser might be sentenced to 5 years. The government wants Nintendo hacker Gary Bowser, we covered before,
to face 5 years.
Hard time.
Bowser is arguing that, yeah, that's ridiculous and that he should only have to do 19 months since he is already taking on a $4.5 million fine.
Yep. He accepted it because he's guilty as fuck. So this is probably one of the most egregious piracy sort of things that we've seen, where like they really came after these folks. But this was a huge operation that was making millions and millions of dollars. That's why I think they're going to make an example out of Mr. Bowser here. Like, this is just, oh, you serve a little bit of time and, you know, no harm, no foul. You might have money set aside somewhere that you hid. This is like, we want to make an example that you're never going to do, or people are never going to do this again. So that's a suggested sentence. Would be extraordinary amount of time for Bowser. This comes from Eurogamer, who's already admitted his guilt and accepted a $4.5 million fine for his role in production and sale of piracy-enabling game console devices. The U.S. government said the 60-month sentence was appropriate given the nature and circumstance of the offense, the history and characteristics of the defendant, and the need for the sentence to reflect the seriousness of the offense, to promote respect for the law, and to provide just punishment to afford adequate deterrence to criminal contact. And after those 5 years, the government said Bowser should be supervised for 3 years. So like 3 years of probation, make sure you're probably not be able to use a computer. So let's see. Yeah, this is the hacking group Team Executor. They generated tens of millions of dollars from the mass-produced and widely sold mod chips for the Switch, right? Yeah.
I did not know this. Separate to the U.S. government case and his $4.5 million fine for that, Bowser has additionally accepted a whopping $10 million fine for Nintendo's own civil lawsuit against
him. Well, he can't win this lawsuit, so Nintendo's going easy on him.
Yeah.
Probably.
That's... Oh, it's insane.
So, yeah, government fine, jail time, a $10 million fine. Yeah, that's the thing. Nintendo is usually, they'll send you a cease and desist on stuff, fan games and stuff like that.
It's the for-profit nature of
this. It's the for-profit piracy of their shit is where you're going to get fucked.
Right.
Whether it's the websites where you sell subscriptions to, like, ROM sites, that's where Nintendo said, that's our line, you crossed it. We're coming after you. It will be a deterrent, I think. I mean, I'm sure if I search for, like Switch mod chips, it'll be harder to find them. I don't know how much they came down against. There were so many of like the 3DS and more the DS. There was all the, the little Switch, flash, like the carts to play the games. But that wasn't modding their hardware, though.
Right.
That's where I think they crossed the line where Nintendo's like, we got you now. You're not just selling like a little cartridge where the user then has to go download the software, you know, from a website. This is like you're encouraging the use of changing our hardware for piracy. That's where Nintendo's like, this is the line where that's it. This is war now. So that's it. So Bowser's going to be in prison for 5 years up to. I'm sure he can get let off, you know, with good behavior.
I think it'll probably end up being closer to the 19 months, but I would be surprised if he actually got 5 years for it.
Well, he'll get 5 years, but not serve five in prison, maybe.
Sure.
He almost never served the full time in prison if you're good behavior. They let you out early. So, we forgot to talk about all the things that GTA 5 would give you before on PS5 and Xbox Series S and X.
Yeah.
Up to 60 frames, up to 4K, improved draw distances, ray tracing options. There it is. Haptic feedback on your PS5 controller.
Woo.
3D audio, which is a thing still, but okay. Guitar Hero cheater, Ian.
Oh, damn. I have the GameStop marketplace open. Guitar Hero, one of the...
Don't spoil our future topics.
Sorry. I was jumping ahead too fast.
Oh, my God.
I'm just feeling wild and crazy today.
Our pal Carl Jobst, did another... He calls out cheaters all the time. He called out or focused on a video that went semi-viral. Guitar Hero legend Shmooey, who was found out through the community. There is a small but stalwart Guitar Hero / now Clone Hero community. There's a PC version of Guitar Hero people play called Clone Hero.
That's why those Guitar Hero guitars are so freaking popular.
Because now they're using them for that.
Gotcha. Yeah, they're doubly popular now.
So Clone Hero is a program that, you know, that it's a open the community. You can upload your own songs and stuff. And so this is still going strong, at least.
Yeah.
For a small amount. I don't know about Rock Band, but at least Guitar Hero. So this guy was known as a good hero, Guitar Hero person, and then had records and was completing songs perfectly that no one else in the world could. That's a red flag right away.
Yep.
But then they said, wait a second, we should look at this. And from looking at Carl's video, I don't know if you saw it, I watched it. It's like, it was, people were thinking about this beforehand. Like, okay, this is weird, but okay. Because right. He showed himself playing. It's always these people that are good players, but then that's not enough. They got to be like the best or perfect.
Yeah.
This was a good player. This is one of the top players that said, you know what? No, I have to cheat. So they started looking into and matching the actual movements of the chords and fingers to the notes. And it's nuts. When you see these songs, there's like, it's like playing a piano, but faster.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
It's insane. Some of this. And so they slowed it down and just said, yeah, it's not
several errors. Yeah.
It's not matching. It's not matching. And so it was a combination of like seeing the visual not match, but also a combination of splicing going on. They looked at like there's like a little circular little icon where it would jump, the little glow around, it would just jump. So like there was sections being spliced together, lots of just weirdness. And so
a Windows Media Player overlay was appeared very briefly towards the end of a video.
And they said like I was having problems with like OBS or whatever, the screen cap, all this bullshit that cheaters try to justify. They always go down the list to try to justify it. So they got caught out and posted an apology, and they said, I won't waste any time on this. Yes, most of the stuff I did was unauthentic. I guess inauthentic. And I'm at fault for being a fraud for the things I tweaked and edited. I'm sorry I'm not the person you thought I was. I am a fraud.
This is the shit that's so weird to me, though. This, like, I'm sorry I'm not the person you thought I was. Like, these are people who make a game, or this is one of my problems with fandoms too. They make this shit their entire personality.
Yeah.
My entire personality hinges on this. So when you're found out to be a cheater, there's nothing left.
Because it takes you years to get good at this.
Yeah.
To become a master at it. So you build it up that this is my world. This is my little scene. I'm worshipped within this little scene.
Right. So now I have to keep it going. So I have to keep cheating at these videos. And people only like you because they think you're good at the video, because you're good at the game, because that's what you're obsessed with. And then, yeah, this happens. And, like, literally, it's all gone.
Yeah. Let's see. There was a flawless run of 9 patterns of eternal pain.
That's what I was referring to earlier, where they saw the media player overlay. They noticed like some of the finger positions and notes were inconsistent. His method is deceptively simple, the article says. He slowed the songs down in Clone Hero, played them at an easier difficulty, and then sped it back up.
He immediately spliced some of the videos in a Discord call in January, but insisted that he'd only tamper with a few of the videos. This is the whole thing about the, you know, this is why you have to throw out all the records, because you can't trust the person anymore. Even if some of the records and stuff was
right,
they're gone. There's no trust anymore. You're gone. You're finished. You can't say, oh, you know, I only cheated at the board game a few of the times. No, you're not playing with me again. But don't let me go up on board game cheats again.
No, I'm going to stop you.
Talk about 5 years in prison.
That's justifiable.
And a $4.5 million fine. No one ain't cheating at Monopoly after that ever again, or Game of Life, or what have you.
Year six, you took an extra $100 out of the bank. I don't care. Get in jail.
Or playing Battleship, and I really didn't hit your sub. You said I missed, you son of a bitch. Don't think Kevin. Hey, Kevin, if you cheated at the other board games, you probably cheated at Battleship. You can't cheat electronic, though.
Yeah.
Can't cheat electronic. Yeah. It's sad. I feel bad for the person because it's like you have such a shallow soul. If that's your
right,
what you feel you need to do to get gratification, get acceptance, is to cheat at a video game again.
What person did we think you were?
I don't fucking. I mean, how big is the community? Is it like 1,000 people? Like, how big can this community be? Like, it's just, I don't know. It's sad.
I don't know, man. You know what's not sad?
What's not sad, Ian?
Going to ultimatenintendo.com.
Your day will be bright, and there's no splicing going on. There's no cheating. You get great NES and Super Nintendo guidebooks. You get patented and enamel pins. You get RBI baseball stickers. The limited T-shirt. It's all there. It's not fraudulent. It's all there for real.
It's not fraudulent at all.
It's all there. I'll be on Twitch Wednesday night, twitch.tv/countrycode. I'm also on Cameo for all your Valentine's needs. Cameo.com/PatContry. Why did I say that creepily? We're going to be returning to the SoCal Retro Gaming Expo.
So excited.
February 26th and 27th, a few weeks away. God, it's 3 weeks away. Less than 3 weeks. At the Ontario Convention Center in Ontario, California. It's 3 years since we've been there. 3 years. Like, that's like ridiculous if we think about it.
Yeah, that's insane.
So, it's been 2 years. No, 3 years the last time we were there. That's our closest backyard there. I'm sure we'll be doing a panel. We'll be selling our wares as well. We don't have time for our sound drop stuff. We'll do that later in the year.
Yeah.
We'll do that for Portland later in the year. We'll have the sound drop. Ian said, we'll do a sound drop.
Started looking into it.
We'll do those cheap keychains like you get at the flea markets with the
square-shaped keychains where you can just press a button and it plays the thing.
Yeah, like my Goonies one right here.
Yeah. I just want them to be one at a time. One sound.
Oh, you want one sound? You want to milk the customer base?
Absolutely.
$20 per sound drop?
One sound, one color. Yeah.
You don't want to just do the Goonies one.
No, I need people to hang them off of a chain.
I feel like I can get this done a lot easier, Ian, on AliExpress.
I probably can.
A little picture of us right here and then just a little icon and then, you know, I don't know where I got this from.
I don't know, but it's been sitting there for 8 years.
We haven't been here 8 years. Ian's silly.
I look at it every week.
Ian's silly.
Yeah.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
It's time for the scumbag NFT segment
of the week.
Of the week.
Week, week.
Week, week.
Where to start?
There's so many. I mean, this is ridiculous.
So YouTube looks like it's going to be getting into NFTs, not just in terms of a marketplace, but also they look like they're going to be offering a way to display them, similar to what Twitter is doing. So if you have an NFT, you can make it your profile picture. The funny thing is like a lot of these NFT crypto bros are like, but the real usage of NFT is so deeper and more meaningful, and there's so much more we're going to get out of it. Yet the only thing we've seen enacted in any way yet is the ability to use these fucking shitty monkeys as profile pictures.
Monkeys or camels or whatever else. There's so many.
Ooh, I'm bullish on the baby seals this week.
I'm bullish on a blockchain ledger. That's basically what you're saying. I'm bullish on this blockchain ledger with pictures attached to.
All you're saying is this one has more hype. There's no more inherent value to it. Anyways, whatever. What the fuck ever?
So the CEO of YouTube, Susan Wojcicki, suggested the company's looking to branch into NFTs in the future and as another source of revenue for creators. Okay, how am I making money, Susan? Tell me. We're always focused on expanding the YouTube ecosystem to help creators capitalize on emerging technologies, including things like NFTs, while continuing to strengthen and enhance the experience creators and fans have on YouTube. She said YouTube is looking to Web3 as a source of inspiration. This Web 3.0 can lick my taint. Specifically noting the opportunities with crypto, decentralized autonomous organizations, DAOs. That's another hot thing in Web 3.0 and NFTs. I love this just because whenever they announce this shit, there's no specific way how this is going to make my life better. How do I make money?
My life is not made better because I can tell you where I bought my profile picture from.
I swear to God, if this goes into like each creator having their own NFT marketplace page, like on their, I swear to God, the backlash is going to be fucking furious.
Oh,
like
sure.
you think the backlash against anything right now and is bad. You always see how bad it is with YouTube. YouTube is a lot of people's main source of entertainment. Like this has been turning so quickly in terms of these companies getting into it and the backlash that we're going to get into. This might all blow over by like the fall. Companies might be fearful of getting into NFTs by the fall at the rate of how much this stuff has been propagated, but then the backlash hitting it in the face each time, as we're going to see.
Yeah,
I guess this segment as we go further into this fucking bullshit.
I'd like to, the segment is your all-in-one NFT catch-up. I do want to point out itch.io real quick. Some of the biggest news around like NFT bullshit this weekend was surrounding Gumroad. Gumroad is an online marketplace usually used by artists and writers.
I've heard of that one. It's like an Etsy kind of.
It's more like itch.io. But it's for like art,
digital stuff.
It's for like art, comics, you know, that sort of stuff. I think people do other things on there too, but it's mostly like I know it from like people doing like comics and buying like fan comics.
It's digital yes. works. Gotcha.
Box Brown, who is a comic artist that I really enjoyed his Andre the Giant book. Got into it publicly with the owner of Gumroad and was like, hey, look, and he was polite about it. He was like, look, if all you have right here is an NFT project, I have to part ways with you. I have no interest in working.
No interest in working with them or being on their site.
I have no interest in being, you know, doing the NFT stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, thanks for all you've done. And, you know, they came back and they were like, look, we're not Gumroad's quote was, we are not contemplating NFTs at this time. And then something about, you know, if that changes in the future, we'll let you know. And people are like, no, that's not good enough. You need to
take a stance against
it. And then Box Brown released more tweets, I believe it was, that he had with the owner. And the owner was like, very much like all I've got is this NFT idea. Like, he's right on the edge of it. So, you know, it's just a matter of when. Is he going to wait 2 weeks and then do it? Or, you know, so a lot of people started saying, hey, we're going to take our art off of Gumroad. Itch.io, which is well known for being for like small indie game developers, sure, doesn't actually limit the type of files that you can sell on there. You could sell any type of file you want.
Just known for games.
Right. Yeah. So if you wanted to sell PDFs or something like that of your artwork, you could. So mm-hmm. Itch came out, and much like the Aggro Crab announcement last week when they were talking about Team 17, this one just delightfully does not mince words. So this is from itch.io. A few have asked about our stance on NFTs. NFTs are a scam. If you think they are legitimately useful for anything other than the exploitation of creators, financial scams, and the destruction of the planet, then we ask that you please reevaluate your life choices. Peace. And then follow up. Also, what? Fuck, and this is more directly at Gumroad. Also, fuck any company that says they support creators and also endorses NFTs in any way. They only care about their own profit and the opportunity for wealth above anyone else, especially given the now easily available discourse concerning the problems of NFTs.
And this is what it comes back to. Obviously, business exists to make money.
Yes.
But they sell products and services that are supposed to be useful to people or entertainment. Again, NFTs have no use. And the entire point is to sell it to someone after you for more money. And if businesses aren't recognizing and coming out staunchly against that, then this is going to happen more and more. It's preying on people. That's the difference.
And it feels predatory. Yeah. Every time that a company announces this stuff, they're doing it in the face of massive backlash. As we've talked about, you look on any announcement on Twitter about NFTs, the response is near universal derogation. Yes. No one wants this. So what it's beginning to look like is at first some people might have been interested, like, okay, let's listen and hear what they say. But people are now very well aware of when you say you're bringing NFTs to something because we want to make life easier for you, that's bullshit because nothing's been shown. When you bring us NFTs, you're literally saying, make me the person at the top who owns all this fucking coin for no reason. Make me more money. It feels sleazy. And people are waking up to that.
Well, it always was sleazy, but it's become more transparent.
It's transparently sleazy.
It took people months to wrap their minds around what the hell is this.
Almost a year into this, and all we have is profile pictures. Where's the actual use?
Yeah, I remember when we first talked about this I want to say it was like probably late February, early March of last year. I'm like, this doesn't make any sense. As my first says, like, this is weird. It doesn't make any sense.
Where's the unique use case scenario that nothing else can do?
But then as the months got on and I talked about the NBA Top Shot things, I'm like, this is ridiculous. I said, this is insane that they're pushing this on even on ESPN show. People are going to lose a ton of money, you know, on this stuff. It was apparent what it was. It was a FOMO thing. Get in early. Whenever someone says, get in now, you regret it. That's a scam. If it's a real money making venture, you shouldn't have to get in early. You should be able to get in whenever you desire on it. Get in early or you'll miss out. That's multi-level marketing talk and bullshit, which is a Ponzi scheme. Multi-level. It's an inverted cone, as they say. I think they said that on like the Always Sunny episode. It's not a pyramid.
Oh, yeah.
It's inverted. or they said that on The Office. Same joke. They turn it upside down and it's like a cone or whatever.
Yeah, they do it on a lot. Like, there's one on The Office where he's like up at the whiteboard and he's like drawing people here.
Yeah,
and
Jim turns
walks
around
up and like puts a triangle. It literally makes a triangle.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. So in the midst of all this, Ubisoft decided we're gonna give NFTs as a gift to our employees as a bonus. I guess since they're not selling any, as Ian had talked about, they sold like a few dozen of the damn things or a couple dozen.
Hey, look, I mean, this is even worse. Like, how are they? How does any employee who's anti-NFT not supposed to look at this as a smack in the face? Hey guys, we announced and released NFTs for our gaming public, and they were so popular we sold 26 of them and made just over $1,000. Here's one as a bonus.
This comes from Eurogamer.
Literally worthless.
Vicky Blake, contributor, said, God, I love Eurogamer so much. Ubisoft has reportedly awarded the efforts of its Ghost Recon Breakpoint development team with an NFT Ghost Recon 20th anniversary cap. If you're hosting a workshop to help to assuage concerns about the company's pivot to NFTs, recorded in blockchain, Ubisoft reportedly issued the tokens as a thank you for the Breakpoint team's sustained efforts to improve the beleaguered shooter. That's insane, especially since probably, like you said, most of the employees are like, we don't want to be a part of this. They do these polls where most game devs have nothing to do with NFTs at all. Earlier this week, Tom reported that Ubisoft bosses allegedly believe the company is getting in early on this paradigm shift in gaming, but its players just don't get it. We talked about that before, that asshole. We think gamers don't get what a digital secondary market can bring to them. Oh, we know what it can bring. We know precisely what it can bring. That's the problem.
Yeah.
Absolutely. How dare you insult us without knowing what it could bring? We know exactly what it can bring, and you do too. That's the problem. We said there's different philosophies about the results.
There's a beautifully clear example of this too that everyone seems to magically forget, and that was when Doom 3 launched. There was an in-game auction house, and there was a real cash auction house, and the real cash auction house ruined the game.
Really?
And Diablo shut down the real cash auction house, and it wasn't until they shut that down that the game suddenly flourished and became fun, and the reviews started to go up.
So because players just actively rejecting it. They're like, this is bullshit.
Yeah, because people were farming and selling, and there was fucking scammy bullshit going on, and they were like, okay, we've got to get rid of this. They actively tried to invest in an aftermarket into their game, and it failed.
And they didn't need NFTs to do that,
and
by the way.
It didn't need NFTs to do it, and it wouldn't have succeeded with NFTs.
It's ridiculous. It's you wonder if they would have thought about doing all these marketplaces and items, regardless of if NFT came about. But obviously, again, it's buzzwords. It's something that you can wrap. Oh, it's the latest tech craze. People like
games. It is.
People like games. They like tech. They're going to get in on it.
But this idea is, that's just my point. This idea isn't even new. It was tried before in roundly fucking rejected.
So, Team 17 brought up, we'll talk about what they said.
We talked about...
This was their Twitch announcement. Remember, Team 17, the people behind Worms, try to do their fucking Meta Worms bullshit, and people were like, we had
we Aggro brought that up, Aggro Crab.
A second dev said, we don't want anything to do with you.
Yeah.
After this. Team 17 reversed course within, like, it was like a day. It was like literally like after we did our podcast, they put out this statement.
Yeah, I went home, did like 2 hours of work, and I think they had already finished it.
We've listened to our Teamsters, development partners, and our games communities and the concerns they've expressed, and have therefore taken the decision to step back, not to say no to it, Ian. See the wording? We're going to step back from the NFT space, not say this is a bad idea. We'll step back just in case. We'll just take a step back. The top reply, why did you even start it? It's common knowledge by now that NFTs are not wanted in this medium. Not even sure if you can call it ended if it barely began. So, again, this is the whole thing is, sorry we got caught.
Yeah.
Or sorry you didn't like it. You knew how bad this is. You knew what it's going to be used for. You knew how predatory it is, the nature of doing this. But you don't care because you have no risk. You sell it right away. After that point, you don't give a shit if it's resold or bought or people lose their money. You don't give a shit at that point, Team 17. You don't care. You make your money, which is all these NFTs are. It's like, oh, we get people in get in early. And after that, you sell it. You're done. We don't care. It doesn't cost any money to mint an NFT. That's the problem. It's such a low entry to do.
No, it does cost money to mint an NFT, but it's still fairly low.
Yeah, not a lot. That's what I said. It doesn't cost a lot.
It depends on where you're doing it, but you know, a couple $100 you can mint a few.
That's not a lot. Yeah. That's the point. Okay, so that's fine. And then, of course, on the heels of all this awful NFT, you want to call it PR or how people are rejecting it, GameStop decides. Fuck you, GameStop. $100 million NFT marketplace investment.
I mean, this is...
GameStop forms partnership with Immutable X. They're establishing a $100 million fund. Hey, all the nice cash they got from the meme stock and short sell stuff, that's all the money is going from selling off stock that's overinflated. From the short sellers,
they are screwed. They are launching on an Australian blockchain startup, Immutable, a carbon neutral platform.
That's the claim
that uses Ethereum. So I'm glad that carbon neutral is starting to get put in quotes because it's one of those soothe words said to make people feel better, but it doesn't mean anything. And Ethereum is absolutely not environmentally friendly right now. And I talk about this every time, but Ethereum is well known at this point. So I don't want to fucking hear it for. Its advocates are constantly like, well, it's going to be clean in a couple of years. It's going to be clean in a couple of years. And they've been saying that for fucking like 8 years.
And then I searched for carbon neutral Immutable X. I searched for like, okay, like, is there information on this? How is this carbon neutral? I could find absolutely nothing. I was like, that's just a claim. How is it carbon neutral? How do you spend energy and then that energy comes back? With this, that's what you're saying.
Well, and all this is so new and so unregulated that, like, I mean, are they just paying? I mean, well, yes, a lot of these people, as I've said, are paying a company that's literally just dumping seeds in the middle of fucking nowhere and saying, okay, we're done.
And you hope that in 20 years a fucking tree sprouts out, or
everything I've read on the carbon neutral stuff is that, I think we talked about this last week. It will take 10 years, they say, for the tree to grow to a point where it's actually providing something beneficial to the environment. In 10 years we're fucked.
I mean, we're kind of fucked now. It's just a slow decline.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is all they said in this release. Creators from gaming studios, Web 3.0, and metaverse gaming developers and elsewhere can request to be a content creator on GameStop's NFT marketplace. So looking to have games with NFT insertion into it, basically like club memberships. And like, oh, you earn this NFT, this gives you access to this part of a game or this item. They're looking to capitalize on this. That's what they want to do.
I wonder if they will also sell NFTs. I wonder if they will give away for people who earn NFTs in certain play-to-earn games to sell those NFTs. Like, will it be... Is GameStop going to be the only people selling the NFTs? Or are they going to allow other people to sell and trade NFTs? And is it all just going to be with this play-to-earn shit? Or is it also going to be, like, these Ghost Recon?
They probably don't fucking know at this point.
Right.
They just know it's a hot thing to do.
No one does.
What's funny is this stuff was in development for months, and now with all the bad press around NFTs, this couldn't possibly have been worse, more badly timed.
Nope.
And I stupidly, naively said, well, Ian, they want to use the NFTs maybe for the digital buying and selling of used digital. No. Even that would have been, as you said, you wouldn't need NFTs to do that.
But it's the one use situation that people have brought up where I'm like, okay, I can kind of see it if it's just easy.
Maybe you transfer your, because along the way you transfer like your game progress to someone else. It's like, okay, I can see something like that being something interesting, even if maybe you don't need NFTs.
But then again, NFT doesn't inherently make it possible. You can do it other ways.
I was given the benefit of the doubt that I should have.
Yeah.
Shouldn't have.
Sure.
So GameStop can go fuck itself again. They can be a stock, a meme stock darling all they want. They're still in fucking trouble. And they just wasted $100 million.
Yeah. To me, this is like, I think it proves what I was thinking, you know, like a month or two ago. All this NFT stuff that's happening right now is the result of people months ago, or slower, older corporation like GameStop being months ago when like people were first talking about being like, we got to get in on this, and not realizing that the public discourse on this, the opinion of it was just, I can't even say changed because it was never good, but just continues to get worse. And then by the time they actually release this, they come out with it. I mean, it's dead on arrival.
This is Ryan Cohen's doing. This is the new CEO, the Chewy guy that came and displaced the AutoZone guy, said, oh, we need someone more nimble and younger with tech. I didn't think he would just jump on NFTs. I thought there'd be something more thought out than just an NFT fucking scam. I thought there'd be something more like, okay, digital game sales. I thought they would create their own real digital game marketplace, like a Steam. So I was stupid to think that. I was dumb to think that. They want to go metaverse using NFTs within games, marketplace, and the Web 3.0.
Yeah, that is a little too much credit.
I gave too much credit.
I would have loved to see it, I guess. I would have loved... Show me why this is useful. But
I now wish for AutoZone guy back. Because he was too old and retail-based to probably have thought to do something like this.
Get in the zone.
AutoZone. Konami moving forward with NFT plans. It doesn't end. This intro's long as hell, but we have to talk about it. Konami is going to proceed with plans to use NFTs to preserve gaming content as commemorative art, according to a regional financial report. Yes, because in order to create art, you need NFTs.
Also, you are not preserving a fucking thing digitally. It's not like it can go away. You have to preserve the actual art. This is something that archivists talk about all the time. Like, that's not not acceptable preservation, Konami. You're just throwing that word out there because you like the way it sounds.
All because idiots out there just went and bought those fucking Castlevania NFTs. I think one went for $25,000 or whatever we talked about. Good job. Good job, morons. Good job doing that.
Morons.
Good job. There's an article. Check out this Forbes article by Paul Tassi. GameStop, $100 million NFT marketplace is going to go poorly. I talk about it more, but this intro has been super long here. And it talks about the survey stuff. 70% of devs were not interested in NFTs, and 72% were not interested in using cryptocurrency for payment. So notice how they line up just exactly.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Only 2% more favorite. It's not going to go well. It's not. Maybe a nice metaverse game gets made. I ain't ever going to play it, so it doesn't matter. Ian's probably never going to play it.
No, I am not.
So, you know, it is what it is there. That's all. I mean, I think we're going to talk about NFTs every week until it's going to end, because we have talked about the past month every week. It's a shame. Roses are red, violets are blue. Don't let a wild pube wreck you. Valentine's Day is just around the corner, and our sponsors at Manscaped are here for you with the best tools to get your balls ready for the special occasion. This Valentine's Day, it's time to join the 4 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped, the leaders in below-the-waist grooming, with our exclusive offer. Go to manscaped.com and use code CUPODCAST for 20% off and free shipping.
The holidays went by so quickly. Did you remember to take care of your package with the best tools for the job? The Performance Package 4.0 from Manscaped is just the thing every guy needs in their life to make each and every day just a little more special. The number one product in this package is the Lawnmower 4.0. This electric trimmer is designed to trim hair on loose skin. And get this, the trimmer's advanced skin-safe technology reduces cuts and nicks on your delicate balls. It even has a 4000K LED spotlight so you can shave anywhere your heart desires. Did I mention that it's waterproof too? The package also includes the Weed Whacker nose and ear hair trimmer to whack all the worst of your weeds. Manscaped even threw in two free gifts. Their shed travel bag and anti-chafing boxer briefs to keep your boys stored comfortably. To complete the perfect package for your package, are liquid formulations like the Crop Preserver Ball Deodorant and Crop Reviver Ball Toner. Start your day with the deodorant for your boys and stay cool all day with toner to keep you feeling your best all day and night. These formulations will also have you smelling like a king on the big day. And don't forget to smell good not only around your balls, but all over. Made with their signature scent, the Manscaped Refined Cologne will complement your collection with smell perfection. Manscaped created their products for a night just like this and will make your V-Day date say, wow, that's a great set you have there.
Get 20% off and free shipping with the code CUPODCAST at manscaped.com. That's 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com with the code CUPODCAST. Join Cupid and shoot your arrow with Manscaped this Valentine's Day. Your balls and lady will thank you. Ian, we first were thinking of doing the podcast last week. We said, oh, we can put it off a few days maybe. There's not a lot going on.
I mentioned during one of our catch-up calls, I said, hey, has anything been going on with the Amico lately? Because I hadn't been paying attention.
They're like, no, it's been a little quiet.
Yeah.
It's been a little quiet. And on Sunday, I was alerted to the LinkedIn accounts of Tommy Tallarico, former CEO of Intellivision Entertainment, and Phil Adam, who's now the current CEO of Intellivision Entertainment. They changed their LinkedIn bios. I tweeted it out, and it seemed like a mini hell broke loose from that tweet, and things happened quickly, which we'll get into. But first off, this was a quiet transition. I don't think they wanted people to know about this.
Absolutely not.
The fact that there was no press release, the fact that there was nothing said to the Rev investors, if you want to call them that, on Republic. No mention of that. My source tells me that this was quietly done, or done around November, was when Tommy was being shuffled out. There was always two divisions. There was always a division. There was a pro-Tommy faction and a anti-Tommy faction, or we'll say the more probably reasonable business-minded faction, as much as you can be with a doomed product like this, that were butting heads a lot. And finally it was decided in November that Tommy should not be the CEO anymore.
Tommy is no longer the CEO of Intellivision Entertainment.
Around November was probably the last straw for a lot of people that were connected with this, that leaving like this, with the Battle Tanks fiasco.
Yes.
Using stolen art assets. That was their first game.
That was the first deep dive.
And I think that could have been the final straw. But obviously, the writing was on the lawn. The writing was on the wall.
Or was it Shark Shark? Was that the first one?
Could have been.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
It was
close.
Battle Tanks was a fiasco.
No, none of that really matters. Doesn't matter. Comparison to all of this.
Since E3 of last year, Intellivision has been in a tailspin. Since June of last year, we said at that point that was the beginning of the end.
Yes.
Excuse me, no.
The end of the beginning.
The end of the beginning.
Yes.
It was the end of the beginning, because that was their world premiere, basically. We have a console, and the reaction was laughable.
That was their last shot. Tommy can say everything he wants about, the people who are going to buy this don't know about it yet, et cetera, et cetera. But you are not going to release a video game system and have it successful without the backing of the video game community. And the response to the Amico was laughter, derision.
That was their thud. That was the biggest stage Intellivision will ever have, was that E3 video.
Yes.
That's it. That was their peak. Peak marketing, you want to call it. That 10-minute video, which was Tommy talking about himself for a minute and a half, and then going and then like shooting out as many facts and then showing all the things we talked about, like people using cell phones as controllers, all the stock photos, Photoshop stock photos, all that stuff. That was it for them. After that, it's obviously gone sour. Phil Adam was on board as a chief revenue officer before that.
Yes.
And before that, he was, VP of Business Development, SVP.
So Phil Senior Adam, VP. The former chief revenue officer, is now the new CEO.
He's the new CEO.
Which makes sense.
I mean, he's been involved with the business. He was on Spectrum Holobyte and Interplay. I think he was at Interplay when it was closed down when or sold off.
He was in charge of parceling out Interplay.
Oh, okay.
Which is why this does not look this. That's one of a million things that doesn't look good for in television right now. Is he was in charge of the
piecing it off,
the dissolving of Interplay. Yeah.
Okay. All right. That's great. Phil will get into on Sunday night. He's an older guy. We should get into in terms of like the, you know, new blood for a video game company. That's fine, though. But he said he's a 67-year-old. You know, he's been in the industry a long time. On Sunday night, I'm not saying it was a response to my tweet, but a late Sunday night video call, you want to say a copium sort of party between a few of the cultists / investors and Phil Adam happened. Done by this person.
Hey, Pat and Ian, fuck you.
So that tells you what you need to know about why a CEO would even bother to waste time speaking on such a low-level YouTuber's channel like that to talk about a transition of a multi-million dollar company. That's okay. But it was very revealing what was said during that.
I also think deep down inside in television knows that the only front of positive press and news they have is with these people, and you can't leave these people wondering what's going on for 24 hours
because they have their pre-order money. The hardcore is all the money they have and all the money they can bank on.
We'll talk about that more.
But so Phil Adam was on this. He was on for a half hour on this chat with two investors who almost never disclose that they invest when they do these pro Amico videos, which legally they have to with the Federal Trade Commission, but that's okay. That's okay. Who cares? He said a lot of things. By the way, Phil Adam and John Alvarado are the only people on the January 6th statement of facts. Remember we said Tommy was conspicuous in his absence on that, even though he tweeted out?
And so, Tommy even said, that wasn't me. Yes. There was a reply somewhere where he said that wasn't me. He said who it was.
Tommy's been doing less interviews the past few, almost none the past few months. The last one was like the Slopes Game Room one. That was, I think, one of the last ones he really did. And so, like, that really showed you that, yeah, they probably muzzled him and said, you're no longer the guy. As a reminder, a CEO is the chief executive officer. They are in charge for establishing the vision of the company and executing that vision to the best of their abilities. Obviously, they thought way too late that Tommy was not the person for the job to do that.
I would point out this too real quick before we get into it. Tommy has already done some damage control and said, but I'm still the president and we make all of our decisions together. Did you read that and be like, I immediately just said, how fucking pathetic, man. You've got to like constantly. But the big thing here is you can try to spin this however you want. There is no situation, especially with a company that has yet to release a product, where a change of a CEO is just done for shits and giggles because things are getting ready to launch, like he said.
On the rocket ship.
We're
on the launch pad ready to launch the rocket ship.
I don't have the time for these positions anymore. I got to pay attention to the creative stuff. Tommy can say what he wants. This close to launch, no CEO is changing unless there is a massive, massive problem.
Or they need a change in direction because the focus of the company is changing, which we'll get into as well. So this was in the works for a few months. I already checked. There's a Video Games Live scheduled for April 2nd in Tacoma, Washington.
Yeah.
So Tommy's head's been out of this for months. He wants to go back to the safety of doing that. The cosplay experience is over.
He wants to take his ball and go home.
He's gone home. He's done. He realizes that this is in a lot more trouble probably than it's worth. At this point, it might be humiliating. Who knows? In order to be the head of an absolute fucking disaster the past few years. And
it's no surprise to me that he was all piss and vinegar. And now
he's silenced.
There's no words. Just
silenced.
Humiliated.
Yes. And this should have been done at the very least 2 years ago, after he started attacking critics and dissenters in early 2020, when he started libeling and slandering people, not just us, others. That's when it should have happened. That's when the board of directors of Intellivision should have said, this is enough. We can't have someone like you in charge anymore. That's when it should have happened. I would have really respected the direction of the project then.
Yes.
When you realize we can't have some guy spending his waking hours on Atari Age posting shit after shit, thousands of posts, and also going on as many interviews as he can with a lot of channels that have that'll be seen. It's not just the fact that, you know, these YouTubers have 100 and 300 subscribers. That's not the point. That doesn't tell you about the content of
their quality of their content.
It's the fact that it's a waste of time because no one will see those videos.
Right.
How should a CEO be spending their time? Not doing that. Not posting on Atari Age. Not going after dissenters. Not challenging someone like me to a fucking debate on Twitter like your Ben Shapiro. They should be running the company best they can. And obviously that hasn't happened. That's all I'm going to say. Fare thee well. You should have been gone 2 years ago, at least. That said, I was interested in seeing what Phil Adam, what his demeanor was, what his responses would be. And the too long didn't watch version, before I get into it, is that he is, in a lot of ways, Tommy 2.0, but more professional. Because he's been with the company for years. He's had the same vision of the company. Otherwise, he wouldn't be working there. So he obviously thinks that this is a viable product.
Right. And that's, I think, the thing that people need. Another thing that is important to point out is this isn't like a new person coming in to save it. This is still pulling from the same tainted pool.
Yes.
It's literally, it's just a restructuring of names. It just shows that the people within Intellivision finally had enough. And probably tied them to a fucking chair. And they were like, this is what is going to happen going forward.
Yes. And that probably happened, like you said, around fallish. It happened. I think we'll get into later. I think there was August, September. I think there was thoughts about this. And then obviously the last straw was those videos, the deep dives and things like that.
I think we should have noticed too. Well, it's easy to see clues in hindsight. It was tougher to see them then. The deep dive after Battle Tanks, whatever it was, Missile Command or something, actually says Tommy.
It's a CCO.
CCO. It does not say CEO.
I'll look it up right now. It
does not say CEO. And I remember thinking that was weird.
Yes.
And I remember some other people thinking it was weird. And then
was that on the first, second, third, fourth, or fifth for Battle Tanks, by the way? Yeah. I'll look that up.
So the thing I realized was, that someone pointed out, was that they said, hey, you're a CCO? I thought it was a CEO. And Tommy said something in response to it, probably on the Facebook group, and I read it elsewhere. I wear basically it was the lot of hats sort of thing.
He was CEO / chief creative officer November 23rd on the re-upload, the fourth one of Battle Tanks, now Tank Battle. I gotta see what the next one was after. I gotta see when
I think it's Missile Command after that, it's just CCO. Okay. Yeah, because we did watch that evolution.
Yeah, so the order was it was Tank Battle first, then Astro Smash, then Shark, then Missile Command.
Oh, okay.
Missile Command was the last one. They only did four. They did four. Missile Command was December 20th. He's still CEO on this December 20th. So here's the thing about it. You have to file these changes, usually these big changes with the state for an LLC or corporation. There was probably some lag time between that, which we'll get into, the total reveal of the latest document. So behind the scenes, though, from what I hear from my source, it was done by then. He was no longer really acting.
And,
CEO.
If Tommy ever says anything truthful, he did say that these were ready to go and in the can by the end of the summer. So these could have been videos that were already shot.
Sure. And maybe they just didn't update the lower thirds.
Yeah.
Or didn't care about it. Okay. Here's what some of Phil Adams said. Here's the highlights I put down here, Ian. I watch in 2x speed. There's no way I'm watching it in real time.
No, I skimmed it at 2x.
If we don't deliver good content, we will go the way of Ouya. You wish you can get the sales of the Ouya. You wish you can get, 80 to 100,000 Ouyas to people.
If you end like the Ouya,
I'd be shocked.
That would be a success of a disaster.
I mean, good old. I mean, I know what's his name. Michael Packer thinks you can sell a million Amiikos in a year, but let's just focus on reality. You wish you can get to the Ouya. This next statement: there's not much profit on the console. Be glad you locked in your pre-order price. Such a strange statement, especially since like we knew that there was a markup on this that the former CEO always said that retailers love us because there's a margin on
this. So my take on this is Tommy. My take on this is Tommy put together a bill of goods in his head.
Or not even a bill of goods. He just thought, okay, it's going to cost this amount of money.
Right. A bill of goods in his head. Well, I mean, looked at some stuff. Like a lot of things, whether it's the clips in these trailers that are from 2019, using the same footage from the family trailers that they use, I think he was running always and spouting information that was old or unknown. So I think probably pre-pandemic, he probably had a running total in his head that could have been true.
Pre-pandemic. Oh yeah,
that he could have done it, and then prices started to go up, and he made the feature creep and prices on components started to go up over the pandemic, and instead of pulling the trigger, he just kept waiting for prices to go down, and now they're not going down, and that once upon a time cheap console has ballooned into something that they're not making any money on.
I think you're being too nice about it, to be honest, because that original reveal at PRG 2018, that's where he had the console price, $149 and $179. Yeah. He pulled that out of his ass. That was based on nothing.
No, I know. I just mean in his head, he was probably looking at like
similar something. Types of consoles. Yes. But he pulled that out of his absolute ass. Oh, at that point in time, there was no board. There was no R&D done at that point.
What I'm saying is when he was talking about great profits for the system,
sure.
He was probably using some figure he made up in his head from years prior.
Oh, okay.
That's what I'm saying. And then applying the 250 to it, he's like, look at all this money.
But I'm telling you how much of a horrible businessman he is. The fact that at PRGE, when the idea of that console was still literally an idea, he had a price attached.
You don't do that. What other game company comes out and announces a price right away? We didn't know the price for the Xbox Series or the PlayStation 5 for months and months because you actually have to see what it comes down to.
Yeah, they should do R&D and know what the bill of goods is going to be and things like that.
Right.
Bill of materials and things like that. Console price will increase. Phil comes out and says that.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like we should have, if there are bullet points at the beginning, this is a big one. They're not saying this thing's going to go down. And I remember Tommy used to talk about price drops after a year. No, the price of this is going to go up. The already impossible to sell $250 2016 cell phone.
Tech,
with shitty games that run jittery is going to go up in price. So consider yourself fucking lucky for only having to pay $250. This is my thing when it comes to this announcement of the price. To me, I think what he's trying to do is create a conceivable scenario for them to wrap this all up. I think he's like, hey, we're going to have to raise the price on this. What's going to happen? By the time anything comes out, they'll be like, if we have to raise the price on this, no one's going to buy it. We're going to wrap.
Yeah.
Blame it on COVID cost of goods. I don't think you're ever actually going to see a point where an Amiiko costs more money because that's fucking insane. But they will use this increase in costs, I think, to wrap everything up.
Well, it's a scare tactic.
Yes.
It's a scare tactic.
And it's also a scare tactic to keep pre-orders.
Keep pre-orders so you don't ask for a $100 deposit back, but also maybe for the few people out there that somehow would put in a fresh order on GameStop where you can put it down your deposit or on the site you still can. It was a scare tactic. That's exactly what it was. Please don't take your money out, pre-order people. Oh, but also, you want to get in early. That's the theme this week. Get in early, Ian, because it'll cost you more later. There. This was more shocking to me than that. The software prices will go up, in quotes, 50 to 100% in some cases. These used to be $3 to $8 at the start. Now we're talking $13 to $25, like that.
Just say $15 to
$25. Something like that? In that range?
The thing, they have to try to make this look appealing, yet also cut people's expectations. It's weird. So I think they need to pretend like they're a business going forward. So saying something like, that the game prices has to go up is good on one hand. It would be good if they announced that 2 years ago and said, hey, look, we suddenly realized that $10 games, $8 games with no DLC.
Stop paying the bills.
Don't give our developers any money. So it's going to make it hard for people to develop solely for Amico because there's no money in it. So we're going to say, hey, guys, we really wanted to keep the price of these games here, but we're going to have to raise them so that our developers can make money and so that we can make money. And then you could have started to see different games. The problem is now they've hammered that pricing for so long, and people have started to see, they've already started doing the deep dives. So people see these games
as garbage.
As garbage. And then they go, holy shit, you want me to pay $20 for this? Whereas there could be a good, if this looked like it was actually going to come out, that could be a good thing. Like, hey, we're going to increase what these games can charge, so we're going to get more developers on.
Or we can get better IPs, we can get better licenses. That's what Phil said. We need to pay for the licenses.
But that's not going to happen. That's bullshit. So now all people are really thinking is, you want me to pay $20 for Astro Smash? It's bad. The messaging is bad. Every nugget that could potentially be good in some way currently looks like shit for them.
Yeah. I think it was Astro Smash a pack-in, but you want to pay $20 for a crappier missile command. But right. The same point remains.
Right.
That's the point. It's like, what? That was the most shocking thing to me when I heard that. Because this is supposed to be family-friendly. It's not family-friendly anymore if these games cost $20 and they're 10-minute games. It's all about the value. Oh, they cost less than Mario Kart. You'll be playing Mario Kart 8 for years. You'll be playing a crappy missile command for years. You'll be playing it for a few days. And then that's it. That's the last you ever do. I was talking about that.
Astro Smash is always the game that we say looks the best, but I guarantee you that, I'm not saying this to be a jerk. I'm saying this because it's true. You would catch yourself yawning by the fourth level playing that.
It's a simple game. These are games that were, the original impetus of these games were 40 years ago when they were quick arcadey games. That's it. That's not in vogue anymore. As the popular,
it is. But you got to make them snappy. You got to make them difficult, flashy, hard to master, and that's not what they're doing.
Well, I mean, on a mass scale to appeal to everyone.
Oh yeah,
4-year-olds don't want to play Astro Smash. That's all, we know that.
Yes.
Working on the footprint. Oh, they're gonna have an update in the ship date by end of February. That could mean anything. This is an interesting one. Working on the footprint of the OS so games like Toe Jam and Earl can get done. Wow. So that tells me that even if Toe Jam and Earl was in development, it's not. The dev came out and said it's not. The Amico cannot run that newer Toe Jam and Earl from a few years ago. It can't run it.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing. They let slip a little bit there by saying games like Toe Jam and Earl, because the Toe Jam and Earl dev team didn't state anything. They were actually pretty
neutral.
Pretty neutral. They were being very
professional. We never signed a contract. We talked to them, but it was never anything signed.
Right. But by saying that they would have to work on the footprint of the OS so games like that could even run, yeah, what that's saying is that it either couldn't run or it was so bloated that they didn't want to spend the time on it.
Remember, the Amico, it's like, what is it, 2 gigs of RAM on it? It's like so low power to begin with. We know that. It's a cell phone chip inside, the Snapdragon.
And Toe Jam and Earl is not I can't imagine it's a very power-hungry game, but it is at least a modern game.
Yes, it's a modern game. So that is that's why we see all the jittery low frame rate on it, because it's unoptimized, the OS.
Right.
But none of this is positive, by the way. And the people...
And it flies in the face of what Tommy said, too. We've had a working OS for a year and a half. Yeah, but is it done? Is it functionable? Could you put it on a system and ship it out?
And these individuals...
Hey, Pat Ian, fuck you!
They were hearing this information like they were at, talking about grandma dying. Basically, that's what it sounded like. It was like they were receiving all this bad news, and it was just like they had no proper response. Because what can you respond to? None of this is good news. How is any of this good news? It's all terrible news.
Yeah,
that you hear. And then this is where I said this guy is Tommy 2.0. This is where I said it. He said around, it was like 22 minutes in, dissenters are saying things to get clicks or whatever. Meet the new boss, same as the old boss.
To me, that sounds like something that Tommy was probably like, yeah, make sure you throw a jab at those guys.
Come on, Phil. You've been in the industry producing games since the 80s and helping. That the proof is in the pudding. The products speak to them for themselves. You know that.
Yeah, I saw that as just the weakest attempt at being pathetic. We're still in this.
Come on, Phil, I want to give you a chance, but
we
now
got
I can't.
This. I don't.
I can't now.
I don't.
I can't.
I don't want to give.
Well, I can't because you believe in that this is a viable product. Well, maybe not because you're making 6 figures, as we'll get in the report. We know how much all the people, the higher ups are making as a CEO. But I mean, it's ridiculous. It was, insane again that it was on a Sunday night. Like, it was almost like an emergency, sort of like we have to, it's like the spin room after a presidential debate. Oh, we have to spin this news. We have to spin it, and this is what's right. happening. And it's amazing. It's amazing how potentially a simple tweet could have conjured up that group. It's nuts. But we have more to discuss, a lot more to discuss with the Intellivision Amico.
Anyway,
just when you think the news of Tommy Tallarico being ousted as CEO was not enough, the fact that he's going back to Video Games Live, first date's April 2nd. You can check the Video Game Live's website in Tacoma. He's done cosplaying as CEO. His Ian would think say his vision board is not becoming a reality no. at this point.
Nope.
In the midst of all that, we had a fourth crowdfunding campaign. The fourth crowdfunding campaign went live on Monday the 7th. Start Engine. It went live. Ian, there's a lot to unpack with this. They're asking for $5 million yes. from investors. We are a day into this. They're at 25 investors and 32,000 from Poor Souls, which we'll get into. And this campaign is obviously ridiculous to have a fourth crowdfunding campaign while you also have pre-orders and you have people that give you $100. But
nothing says I should have confidence in this company like a fourth funding campaign
after changing CEOs officially, like all within 24 well, they changed CEOs, but the discovery all within 24 hours this happened. There's a ridiculous but better family friendly trailer. They hired a bunch of family actors and actresses in the fall.
This is probably the response to the call for actors yeah. in the summer.
There's no more cell phones being used. There's no more stock photos with Photoshop stock photos being used. So that's an improvement. It's a slick looking thing. But then you actually read the campaign and you go back to square one about why this system and the leadership behind it is so lost and out of touch with the modern gaming culture and sensibilities along the way. Recycle points, more than 3 billion casual video game players. Yes, it's larger than the movie and music industry combined. Yes, because smartphones are extremely cheap. Even in like non-first world nations, you can get a cheap smartphone at this point.
Yes,
anyone can get a smartphone. And the games mostly are free. Those are your 3 billion people. They're playing free games. They're not spending $10, $20 each on games. They are playing free games. They talk about the hardcore gamers thing is only 227 million, 3.1 billion players. They mean smartphone users, basically. That's what they mean. Half the world has smartphones. Then they talk about how video games are expensive and complicated. They're isolating. That's also in. Did you see the trailer? I don't think we have to watch the trailer because it's all doom and gloom. It shows someone.
I did. Yeah, I watched.
It shows someone in a dark room.
Yeah, in a dark room. Himself. Yeah, it's absolute mid-2000s bullshit scare tactics.
Yes, the whole thing's a scare tactic here. There's violence in video games and could be predators out there trying to get you. And, you know, that's true to an extent. It is. I'm not saying it's not. But if that is the entire structure of your pitch to investors, you're not off on a good foot, especially when a video game console is sold by its games. Again, there is a ridiculous graphic here, Ian. Complicated versus simple. Our pal Eric Retail Archaeology tweeted about this. On the left side, you have retro gaming consoles like the NES, Genesis, the Advantage joystick, Xbox, the original Xbox, Nintendo 64, PlayStation. That's on the left side. That's what's denoted as complicated. On the right, simple. The Intellivision Amico is simple. A console that you need the internet to get up and running. A console that the controllers are super overly complicated and over-engineered. The fact that, as we've seen from demos and events, it takes minutes to get started in some of these games to get your proper loadout of your whatever, your fucking fish or your tank. There's three different control schemes. That is simple. Are you kidding me? Even for a pitch, that is insane. A cartridge-based system, you hit the power button, Ian, you press start, you start playing. That's it. That's, you're trying to tell me the N64 is complicated or the Sega Genesis? The only thing complicated about the NES is sometimes, you know, you can't get the cartridges working because you're either blowing the pins. That, right. I mean, that's, but in theory, it's not complicated. That's a joke. There's the dark side talking about gun violence, physical violence right there. A unified video game entertainment platform that all family members can enjoy. Note, the Amico console is in pre-production and not available yet on the general market. Well, there you go.
So something that I'd like to bring up about this, this fundraising campaign is that even if it succeeds in its most wildest way,
if it hits the 5 million,
it hits the 5 million. And this is fine print stuff that everyone should be reading. There is no guarantee that it's going to be enough to save the company. If you start reading this, what is this? This offering memo form? Is this an SEC document?
It's an Edgar Form C. Yeah, it's something you have to give to the SEC before you do these investment offerings.
They have to be honest on these. If they're not honest on these,
it's fraudulent, and they can face a civil and or criminal charges potentially.
So they talk a little bit about, you know, what they can raise. The minimum here is $10,000. That's the minimum they could take from it, and the maximum is $5 million.
Do you remember what it says if they raise only the minimum?
I'm about to read that. Okay. That's what I'm talking about right here.
Okay.
The minimum amount for the Start Engine CE offering is $10,000. The important part. If no other sources of capital are raised, and if only the minimum is raised, $10,000. So let's just say no money is raised, because that's basically what we
have. Hell, I'll say $200,000 even.
Yeah. They would, the offering, the company would only have operating cash for 1 to 2 months. Elsewhere in here, they talk about the importance of these funds, not being the funds themselves, but also the acquisition of these funds would also let them perhaps take out a loan in another area, acquire funds from someone else. So if you raise your maximum funding goal, the maximum funding amount for Start Engine CF is $5 million. With the maximum raised through Start Engine, it is expected that the company would raise an additional $5 million. So for a total of 10.
Okay.
Of which $1.6 million has already been raised. In this case, the funds raised would fund the company for approximately 7 to 9 months.
So they would need the $5 million here to keep them afloat for the next months, to raise $5 million more to keep them afloat until closer towards the end of the year.
They are chasing money recklessly. And they're telling you right here that even with that money, they don't know that they've got anything here. 7 to 9 months is not long. They have no income coming in from anywhere else right now. There's no launch. They have not sold anything.
I encourage you all to go and click on See More. You click on a few things, you can find this. It has their balance sheet of how much assets they have, money, how much debt they have.
Here's a quick rundown. $16 million is what they said they raised. They currently say they have $500,000 on hand, and they are $7 million in debt.
Yes, long-term liabilities, which is debt, $7.2 million right there.
Yeah.
That's not good.
No.
That's not good, Ian.
I was looking over this last night, man.
There's also, if you go on the Reddit, there's someone that did like the too long didn't read version of it. I'll bring that up to help us as well.
Oh, yeah,
for the larger points. Here's what it comes down to. They have squandered money not putting out a product the last now year and a half, to the point of paying all these salaries. And we'll get into salaries, as that's on here too. And also having to pay back interest on loans taken out, that they've been sort of chugging along, burning through money, because this is obviously pre-revenue. And the only revenue that can possibly have come in was the physical products, but that was a drop in the bucket. From what we know, they probably sold, it wasn't a lot of money that they got.
It was like nothing.
And whatever, I guess, the Evercade license for the re-release cars was, that's all the Intellivision money they can be making. They're not making on t-shirts on their sites or sweatshirts. We know that. So the fact that they didn't, the fact that they blew their original launch date in fall of 2020 compounded the issues. We knew it was never going to launch in 2020. We know this.
Yeah.
We knew that when they took pre-orders now in earlier 2020, they did not have a console ready to go. It was all smoke and mirrors at that point. Hell, we're still waiting for something to officially be produced. So it compounded it because they still needed the capital to get the people, get the firmware engineers, get the firmware devs, get money for more games. Because all the money, remember, most of these games is money paid up front to a lot of these devs, which is in this as well, the money given to these software folks. And so not coming out with the product compounds your issues, obviously. It puts you further into debt, further liability.
You got to keep the lights on, but you're not selling anything.
Yes. But Ian, we need money to pay our employees and also to pay the board of directors who loan the company money, not invested, loans, as you see in this filing. How do you do that? Well, Ian, we need another round of crowdfunding.
That's right.
We need to go on Fig. Now we need to go on Republic the next year, which happened about a year ago. Wait a minute. A year later, now we need to go on. I'm skipping Fundable.
We're skipping Fundable. Had, there was like nothing came out of Fundable.
We don't know what Fundable did because it's behind the curtain. Now we got to do Fundable. And what was that? Sometime in 2021. Now we have to do Start Engine. They're jumping from platform to platform, searching for this capital to keep their company afloat.
It looks so bad. I beg I want this to get around because at this point, I feel like with a fourth crowdfunding campaign, one that states that even if their maximum is reached, things look a little dicey. To me, at this point, there's no moral gray area left at all. This is purely predatory.
Yeah, yeah.
This is not going to succeed.
Oh no, we're way past the point of the console being successful.
This is never going to be a success. Are we going to see anything before it folds?
Are we going to see a product launch at all? I'm wavering back and forth. Do they want to get? By the way, there's one of the many things Tommy lied about. Having a huge angel investor backing this. There's no big investor. This is all loans on this, it looks like, for the most part.
How far back does this go?
This filing?
Yeah.
The filing, I think, it's the entire history of the company.
I'm just wondering when he incorporated.
The incorporation was in 2018 after he bought it. That's when the new company started. Okay. The timeline is around the summer of 2018. He buys out Intellivision Entertainment, new LLC. He announces it. The new console to come out in 2 years later, that fall at PRGD 2018. And then all these loans start happening about a year later.
What I see the angel investor thing being is he talked to someone because we've been following Tommy forever. It's like I know the guy. He talked to someone. They're like, yeah, Tommy, that sounds interesting. We'll talk later. Well, and he said, I have an angel investor.
Well, he might have. What this all points to, if you get into this filing, is that the board of directors started loaning Intellivision money late 2019,
right,
a year in, not before that. From what it sounded like happened before that, and from my sources, there was potentially some big,
yes,
either venture capitalists or some money involved. They pulled out.
That's what I heard. After it happened in June 2019.
They pulled out after showing it in the hotel room, which turned out sounds like an orange pie in a fucking shell that they showed to influencers and potential investors. At E3 2019, they weren't on the floor. They had a private little whatever, suite or whatever. They showed it off. I think the investors got cold feet and what the fuck is this?
Yeah.
And they pulled out. At that point, it was panic mode. Because remember, up to that point, you didn't need to put in pre-order money before you can play it. Remember that?
Right.
This wasn't going to be Kickstarter.
No, that's really when you started to see... Well, you started to see the funding campaigns, but that's when you stopped seeing any progress on pretty much every game.
Sure.
That was the last time we saw anything on, say, Cloudy Mountain or Night Trap. And that's when you Night Stalker. And that's when you started seeing the clamoring for money and the excuses.
Yes. And then we got attacked more and more that fall, early 2020 as well. It kind of lines up with the desperation of the company.
Mm-hmm.
Things start to come into play. But there's a lot of information on here. There's claims on here that they'll launch within 6 months. This is a Gate Ruse posted a too long didn't read on the Intellivision_Amico Reddit here about here. Confirms all games will be NFTs. We don't know how.
We still don't know.
Only 15 games at launch, including the 6 pack-ins, which is interesting because when you deep dive more into that, it clearly states that 14 of the games were funded by that Bavarian tax grant, German money. This console would not again exist or have an ecosystem without German taxpayers.
Oh, yeah. There'd be zero. There'd be nothing to show.
Hans set up a European LLC in television, separate than television entertainment, just for the intent of getting that cash to get those games made, to have some games for the console.
Yep.
That's clear as day. We're talking the like stuff like the Cornhole and the Astro Smash and the fucking Pong games we've seen and the pool game.
That Pong wasn't. Pong was Choice Provisions. We've been over this.
The shitty Pong.
Oh, Pong. I'm sorry. Not Breakout. Yeah.
The shitty Pong game.
Yeah.
Skiing. I said Astro Smash. Most of the pack-ins.
Shark.
Those would not exist if it wasn't for Germany. It's all laid out in this document. This is not fibbing. This is all in the document here.
Let's talk a little bit about...
Talk about salaries?
Yeah, we can talk about salaries, loans. I also want to talk about that. They state that 33% of this $5 million would be used for the...
I'll get the quote.
The back end.
I'll get the exact quote. 32%? Was it 33?
I thought it was 33, but maybe you're at 32. So let Pat get the exact quote. But basically, if you need 33% of $5 million, you have not started on that back end. And
well, they claim that system firmware and gaming console operating system is 95% complete. That's their
firmware
claim.
And operating system is not the back end.
That's
not,
what they
it's
claim.
Not, it's not the internet. It's not, you know, the web store.
Intellivision has not offered any NFTs as of today. Infrastructure has been put in place to offer in the future digital games tied to an NFT for the purpose of maintaining digital ownership rights. There it is. Doesn't exist right now. But that's when they say every game's going to be an NFT. That's what it is right there.
I think we're getting closer to if this thing gets shipped, it's going to be games on a system sent out. I think we're getting closer and closer to this being a plug and play. How are they going to look at that and be like, we're really going to make this network just to ship everything out and have this fold in a year?
If they raise their target's really $10 million. Remember, Ian said they need $5 million to get to the place to get $5
million. They need this $5 million to look like they're real enough to get $5 million from someone else.
To get closer. This is how they're going to use it. Whatever. The platform Star Engine gets their cut, like 3.5% from that. Okay. The research and dev, whatever. Okay. Here's from the $5 million. Okay. 18% for marketing, 32% research and development. This is great. Continued technology investment will be required in back-end cloud systems, as well as further optimization of the firmware and gaming operating system. Game development is a separate category. They need, what's Pat Math, 30% of $5 million. They need $1.7 million, Ian.
For something that's 95% done, they say.
For their back-end servers and cloud system. And their firmware of their console still. Are you fucking kidding me? And this was supposed to come out October 2020. This is insane. And people are calling us liars. This is where I get when people are like, oh, well, why do you guys get so worked up? We've been right about all of this.
Because they've been hosing you. Hosing you.
And calling us liars when we were right about all of this.
Literally everything.
I mean, I'll give you credit if we were wrong about something. I will say it. I will say it.
We guys got the price wrong in the first time you talked about it.
Yeah, we got the price wrong because now it's going to be over $300. Yeah. It's over $200 to $300. Now it's $250 to $350.
I can't believe we're... God, that didn't even really sink in for me that, like, they're already talking about another price upgrade. And, like, the main thing that Tommy got so angry with us for initially was misquoting the price.
We gave the price a benefit of the doubt. It's more than what we erroneously said or I erroneously said originally. 16% for game development, 6.5% post-launch. New games are expected to launch every 2 weeks. Now it's every 2 weeks there.
Instead of every week.
So that's a big thing. They need a third of the money. They need $1.7 million for firmware and the cloud and the back end. That's nuts. Their auditor has a growing concern with substantial doubts they will succeed as a business and will be unable to continue beyond this year without additional financing. This is a great one right here. Remember ARK? ARK was going to be the manufacturing partner.
They have $1.5 million tied up in a dispute with ARK.
$1.35 million with ARK. They have a contract dispute. What it looks like, if you look into the balance sheets, it sounds like They hired ARC to do the manufacturing. ARC then probably went out and got the components and spent money. And then Intellivision reneged on the deal and said, no, we don't want to work with you guys anymore. And ARC's like, fuck you. We're keeping the $1.35 million because we bought the parts.
Yeah, or set up the lines was what I had read, was that they had pretty much set up the lines and were ready for manufacturing. Basically, yeah, whether it's parts or just the loss of the ability to do something else, they took a hit.
I think if you look into it, they list $1.35 as part of their assets.
Okay.
So like if that means that, well, we got these parts laid out with someone that we blew $1.35 million in dispute, but we can take ownership of it. This is why you need a real CEO running a company. So this stuff doesn't happen.
Right.
They just blew almost $1.5 million right there. Not of their own money, which we'll get into, by the way. We'll get into how that's all structured. This person says Tommy lied when he said there was tens of millions of dollars from outside investors. There's none. There's not tens of millions of dollars.
No one ever at any point was like, this looks great.
That's
Tommy really fucking blew himself on message boards all over about how many private people with big money wanted to be part of this.
While Tommy is the largest shareholder, he does not own a majority.
He owns
28.8%. Board kicks your ass off. If you're not a single majority or over 50.1%, board can kick your ass off. They should have done it 2 years ago. Let's see what
I feel like there. That's what it came down to. They were like, look, we can kick you off the board or you can do what we're going to say.
Sure. They have prepaid some components and the board will offer a line of credit and hoping to get some lines of credit for manufacturing contracts currently being negotiated. They're trying to raise $10 million for venture capital firms. Guessing this is what the Delaware was about. So they restructured the LLC to be focused out of Delaware. We didn't really talk about that. It happened in the past month as well.
Yeah.
And from what I was reading, obviously there's less taxes on a company incorporated in Delaware. It's also more legal protections in Delaware.
Yes.
That's how Delaware makes a lot of their state money, is being a safe haven for LLCs. That's what they do. That's like the big industry in Delaware is that, basically. Yeah. There's more. They have only 5,400 pre-orders. So that's $540,000 deferred revenue of $100 per pre-order.
That's less. I thought they would be rounding up when they said $6,000, but that's not even rounding. That's rounding way up. You should be rounding down.
So we were yelled at and said that this had more interest than Tommy on Twitter said. Wow, we have over 10,000 pre-orders. This is more than the Atari VCS. This is less than the Atari VCS.
He also stated at one point that there was far more interest in the Amiga than the Playdate.
Oh, did he?
Yes.
Well, that's nuts.
Yeah.
Because we know the play has done tens of thousands. We don't know the exact number, but, you know, we looked at my order number and it was in the 20,000s.
Yep.
So we know that. 5,400 pre-orders. I'm guessing that they had around 600 people say, I want my money back. That is probably going to kick up. Wasn't the whatever the 13,000 number? 5,400. That's a legal document. 5,400. Okay. So you ask yourselves, okay, Pat, how did they get to this point? How has this company stayed afloat, wasting all this money and being now a year and a half behind in a console that's still not finished?
Before you talk about that, you didn't mention any of the CEO salaries.
Oh, okay.
We need to get into loans, but if we're not done talking about wasted money.
All right.
We're not done talking about wasted money.
Tommy was paid $96,000 last year. He basically paid himself and Nick Richards, the CFO, $96,000. And before you say, hey, Pat, they should get paid. A lot of startups, the people running them, it's their blood, sweat, and tears. They don't pay themselves anything.
Right.
They realize this is a sacrifice to get the product out. And you're taking money from the company to help the company get to where it's supposed to get to actually earn profit by doing that. But they have other ways. And plus, someone like Nick, I think they were renting out his fucking warehouse or whatever.
Right.
At one point.
So he's making money on that, too.
So the point is this. When you see this, these people that are in on this, the board, especially the CEO, CFO, they have almost no financial risk because they're paying themselves. And it turns out they did not invest in the company. They loaned Intellivision Entertainment, loaned them the money with interest, with bearing interest. And a lot of those loans have been paid back. That's what's so interesting about this structure. They don't have some giant investors helping them out, hoping to get a return. They are all structured, it looks like, for the most part, as loans with interest.
Yep.
So the board of directors, they're putting in money, but they're at a minimal risk. They're going to get their money back with interest. You know why? because of crowdfunding can help them do that.
Yes, that's how they get the money back. They're getting their loans paid back through the money that you're giving. The money you're putting into this is not... anyone who still thinks that a successful, fruitful console launch is still coming out of this is absolutely insane. What you're paying is so that you're paying money so Tommy doesn't get in trouble with the people he has loans out on.
They went from saying you will never have to order, you'll never have to pay or pre-order the console before you can play it, to late 2019, if you look at it, these loans start coming in. Then what happens a few months later, Ian? Oh, we got the Founders Edition, early 2020. We got the Founders Edition. We need your money for that. Get your $300 to us. You know, put it in. You want to get the Founders. Then what happened right after that, Ian? First crowdfunding started.
Yep.
The first FIG crowdfunding started right after that. Right after that. These loans wanted to get paid back pretty fucking early with minimal risk. Today, I can't even call it an investment because they're not investments.
Nope.
It looks like they're straight up loans.
Let's take a look at some of them. Oh, first, John Alvarado. How much is John Alvarado making for not shipping a system?
He was paid, what was it, like $186,000 or like that?
That's right.
Last year?
That's right.
I mean, I'm not saying John shouldn't be paid. I think we need to stop
defending these people.
But you're getting paid on the back of all these poor revenue investors that aren't going to see a fucking dime. Your money's not at risk. These people that watch Neil Patel's sleazy backroom video or subscribe to the overpriced Tika Tawar newsletter in Florida, those are the people funding your salaries and getting the loan money to pay you back. A company can't pay back loans, Ian, if there's no fucking revenue coming in.
Right. So crowdfunding is it's fucking scammy. It's so gross. Let's look at some of these.
It was $174,000 in 2020 to John. He took a slight pay cut, Ian, last year. Only $156,000 last year.
How magnanimous of him.
You want to talk about the loans?
Yeah, loans.
I love the loans, Ian.
So various board members, loan program one. There's two loan programs.
What page is that, Ian? I'm going to put that up.
It is 40 of 76.
40, okay.
$1,914,669, almost a $2 million loan with a 10% interest rate.
Jesus Christ.
Yep. Done by the Board Loan Program 1 between November 2019 and August 2021. So this is the first big, hey, we need a cash injection.
But it was still going along the way.
Right. Five board members loaned the company an aggregate of $1,217,000. No maturity date for the loan. At the option of the lender and until December 31st, 2023, each dollar outstanding under the loan is convertible into warrant to purchase 2 shares of common stock, having an exercise price of 28 cents per share.
10% interest rate on a $2 million loan. Holy shit. Yeah, you're not investing at that point. That's a huge fucking loan, 10%. Then you get to the individual board members that are loaning things. And Tommy loaned money at interest. So it's interesting when you can loan your own company money, you take a salary as well, and you're getting interest on your loan.
Yep.
But you have no revenue, but the money's got to come somewhere, Ian. Where does that money come from?
Crowdfunding.
It comes from, I'll tell you who it comes from.
Well,
it
can also
I'll tell you specifically one of the people it comes from on Republic, the top comment. By the way, Phil, new CEO, no official press release I saw about the change of the guard. Nothing to the Republic investors.
You unprofessional fucking sludge.
So I feel bad. I actually feel bad for these investors. Good old Holly here invested $1,000, Ian. The top comment after the January 10th update. Holly, with a little profile pic of her two cute little white little poodle-looking dogs, seems that this has been taking too long. Something more than supply chain issues. I'm losing faith. I do feel bad for these people. And you say, well, they should know the risk. These are people that are older. These are people that are, you know, looking at sleazy investment videos that have lies in them. Like people like Jay Allard are still with the company when they're not.
I've seen enough Forensic Files and shows like that of old people who get ripped off. I realize that there are definitely people in here that I feel something for.
So Holly is the one, and people like Holly are paying these salaries. They're paying for like the fucking Intellivision Running Man fucking little statue that they got made that they're putting in their office, and is paying the interest on loans to the board members.
Your gross, egotistical bullshit. Yeah, these people aren't. You're not helping launch a console. You're paying back people's loans before this goes fucking tits up.
Yeah, that's what's happened here. That, I mean, you look.
That's
it's all
the important
here.
Thing. That's what you're doing. You are paying back loaned money that Tommy can't repay.
And owed interest. This is interest that is owed by the company.
Yes.
If something happens, they are still legally owned this money, these board members and officers. Because they're loans. They're not investments. They're cash loans to the CFO, Nick Richards, to the CEO or former CEO Tommy. To David Perry, who's on the board, he put in cash. Again, this all started happening late 2019, it looks like, a lot of it.
I want to point out some of these terms, too.
Oh, go for it.
Before we get too far, I'm not going to mention this person's name.
Well, if they're on the document, I'll mention it. Okay, sure. I mean, it's public.
This is a big one. Sudesh
Agarwal?
Agarwal. Manufacturing loan. $810,000 loaned. 0.8 of a million. This one is particularly insane. Like, please listen to what I'm saying here. In August 2021, Sudesh loaned the company $675,000 in exchange for the company's agreement to repay the principal amount plus $202,500 in loan fees and costs. No interest. That's been paid. No interest is accruing on the loan. Company agreed to pay the fees and costs. On or before December 31st.
So they paid the 202.
2021, which they did. Get ready for this, though. Get ready for this shit.
Strap in.
And to pay $100 for each Intellivision Amico sold by the company until the balance of $675,000 is paid in full. As of December 31st, 2021, there is still $675,000 outstanding under the loan.
The $202,000 in the fees. Of the fees. So they paid $140,000 of the fees, and the outstanding balance of the loan was $675,000.
Right.
Because they haven't sold any Amicos yet. So they've paid some of the fees, but they still have the outstanding loan balance of $675,000. This is the point here, though.
How many systems is that at $100?
6,750 consoles they need to sell in order to pay back.
That's more than what they have pre-ordered.
That's the 1,300 more than the pre-order.
They completely destroyed their profits on their first run of systems. Destroyed.
Sudesh?
100 right off the top.
I want to know what happened in August 2021 that was so desperate that they would sell basically any chance of success of getting a profit from the consoles.
If there's one thing to point at here, this is Tommy selling his soul for this company, and it's not going to work.
The company's done as of this loan. It's fucking done, because if you can't start building real revenue from actually selling your product, you don't have anything. You don't have a company anymore. So Sudesh probably read the writing on the wall and is like, okay.
This is very specific to me. $100.
Yes.
What was the pre-order amount?
$100 deposit.
And what do they have pre-orders for? About 5,400 systems. Yes. And they don't want you to cancel their pre-order. Why? Because this guy needs his fucking money.
$100.
$100 from every Amico sale.
I tell you what, Sudesh, I applaud you, because that's a Mr. Wonderful and Shark Tank would be blushing at this loan. That's insane. That's insane. No wonder Phil Adam was saying we're not making money on these. Because of this.
Yeah, you're not losing. I mean, that's why you've got to raise the money. You're absolutely not going to make any money. $150 is probably what it's going to cost you at this point.
How was this loan agreed to?
It was probably Tommy needed the money, or they were fucked that minute.
Did Tommy sign off that? Not the board?
I don't know.
Was this the impetus for getting rid of Tommy on the board? That's insane. How could you?
Well, that was 2021. Oh, yeah. So, yeah. I mean, maybe.
Yeah, that was 2021.
Yeah, I mean, that was eight months ago. That's such an insane deal.
That was about 7 months ago, roughly.
If there's one thing that people talk about from this, I really want people to talk about this. Get this in front of the investors. Look at how little of a chance this has of generating any profit. This entire thing is them trying to save their business, and it doesn't read like anything is going to work. This whole document is incredibly negative. They're telling you in this document that $10 million probably is only going to keep the company shambling along for another 7 to 9 months.
Yeah.
They have enough money to operate 1 or 2 months if they don't make anything.
Yes.
They have 500 cash on hand. They have 7 million in debt.
500,000.
Yeah. Come at me. Spin this. Tell me how this is. Tell me how everything was always fine in La La Land.
Hey, Pat and Ian, fuck you.
Oh! By the way, they value the company because they're insane at $30 million for a pre-revenue company. Because I guess they figure, let's say, 15 times. Usually on a startup, from what I know, a startup is like 7 to 9 or something for a pre-revenue company. I've never heard of 15 times. Like, that's insane. It talks about what the assets they own. They own that there are 120 games in the library. They own the trademarks, secure game and intellectual property license. This is how they're trying to say their company's worth $30 million because they have a fucking deal with Earthworm Jim and Sesame Street. Which, by the way, those games show up again. Night Stalker shows up. The Sesame Street Flash
Breakout
games,
shows up.
Care Bear Carts, the free mobile game. All these games showed up that we have never seen most of these working on an Amiga. We know they're not being worked on. It's smoke and mirrors. Oh, they talk about their Karma gaming engine and that could be proprietary. It's not. Tommy said it's bullshit in a fucking live stream.
He even said it was bullshit in a live stream. I wish people would, like,
I mean,
with all these people who will keep finding out about, like, the Amico stuff and doing these covered, these videos.
We got a lot to catch up on.
That there's other stuff out there. Like, these are things that need to be brought to people's attention. Like, Tommy flat out saying that Karma's bullshit.
The board member taking out that loan, to me, says this. It says that, at the very best, they're going to get out. They'll make about $6,000 or so. They'll get that money out. I mean, that'll get done. We're going to shit out 6,000 of these, and I'm going to get my $100 for each to get my money as well as the interest back. That's owed him.
Yeah.
The $202,000 is owed to him, no matter what. The company tries to declare bankruptcy. They're indebted to Sudesh there, besides that. But he sees the writing on the wall, Sudesh.
Yep.
If a board of director wants that predatory loan to kneecap the fucking business before it can get off and running, that's all you need to know. You are kneecapping the business.
Yep.
By strangling all the money from it. When the documentary is made about this, I want to know how the fuck that loan went down and how that was agreed to.
Yeah.
I would love. Did Tommy not know he was signing that loan? Or Nick Richards, the CFO, is responsible? What happened with that loan?
I have never seen anything like that.
This is insane. So I'm going to finish.
If anyone wants to know, the PPP has not been forgiven.
The PPP loan of about $200,000 has not been forgiven yet either. So the government's PPP loan they have to look at, make sure it's all above the board and do that. I'm not saying it won't be. That's still there as well. This is where I'm going to end up at right now. I'm 50-50. I'm actually seeing that awful loan makes me think that they're going to try to push this out just to appease him, or he's going to push for it, Sudesh. You're going to get Ian, as you said, we're going to flash 6 games, maybe just 5, flash them to the console, no back end, no leaderboards, barely functioning controllers. Who the fuck cares if this console lasts 3 months before it crumbles in your hands, and ship it out to the people. And that's it.
That's another thing. And I'm not going to say I'd bet money on it, but I think at this point, the likelihood of seeing a back end, a cloud-based back end, not going to happen, because everyone who's sitting there, you read this, you know that this company has no future. This company has zero future. They're not going to spend all that money on building that back end just to have to shut it down.
Yes.
They're going to use that 32% or whatever. That's going to go towards
console
these
production.
Loans. It's going to go towards loans. It's going to go towards getting 6-7 games finished and thrown on a console. And you're going to have an Amico plug and play.
That'll be a paperweight, because you're gonna be sick of it. And no customer support if something happens with your console or if the controllers go bad.
Oh, there's not going to be extra controllers just floating around?
Oh, no. 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 They'll get just as many probably produced that they need to ship, and maybe, you know, obviously some extra consoles, but, like, whatever the run is, that's what's going to happen. So that's a lot of Intellivision, but as I'll get it right this time, as we said, E3 was the end of the beginning. This is the true beginning of the end.
I said yesterday online that this stuff doesn't excite me anymore. But as I read some of this, I get some of that excitement back to cover this topic.
Yeah, the Sudesh loan, gotcha.
I'm interested. I'm interested in where this goes in the next 2 months. I don't have the fucking time for more than two more months of this. I hope this is wrapped up in 2 months.
I'll finish on the Start Engine investors seem, unfortunately, probably a little more knowledgeable than poor Holly and her cute little poodles that lost $1,000 that could have went to her, like, grandchildren or nieces and nephews.
What are they at right now? Probably 35,000,
something like that.
This is also the way the Start Engine does it. You get like bonus shares if you get in right away. So this is like the time where people should be
running to do it. They're at 32,000 remember recordings. The comments, though, they're a little bit more savvy because they, unlike the people in the public, they're reading the filings. In this event, Amico is not sustainable. Bankrupt by Q4 2022, as stated above, with this round of investor shares transfers shares to Fix. So they're basically asking, like, we know this is going to be not sustainable. We're going to get shares.
Will this be transferable to whoever buys you out? Or to
shares in Fig themselves, because Fig when you invest in Fig Republic, you're investing technically that, not the actual investment. I thought this was a great concept. This comes from Peter. And I invested in the revenue shares on Republic and pre-ordered the Amica wood grain, but now I have an unopened 8-pack of games. You don't have games, Peter. They are physical products, legally, that I cannot play yet because I did not get a console yet, which is entirely backwards, even with the supply chain fiasco considered.
I do have to say this. Hey, Moot, dude, you fucking ordered those games.
Yeah. Why should I? Oh, this is smart. Peter's learning. Why should I invest again when I am not yet getting a return on my revenue share? Have the games, but cannot yet get a console to play them on. You don't have games, Peter. And I see people posting below and above that the directors of the company are paying themselves back for a bankrupt company from their shareholder loans. I really wanted to believe in the potential of this company, but it's not looking good so far. Peter's coming around, but he's out of his money.
Yeah.
And then the first comment was, can't wait to play Toe Jam and Earl on this, which is hysterical.
That is funny.
That's a troll. But it sounds like the Start Engine is a little bit savvier investors from the comments I see so far.
I think just the fucking word's getting out finally.
Yeah. The word's getting out.
The thing is they would have had to have planned for this crowdfunding campaign. This didn't launch yesterday in response to the CEO news. The CEO changing news just hit at a really bad time for them. Everyone, it's news like that comes out, everyone quickly becomes aware of them again, and it gets this
COVID. I hope my tweet calls it a little bit. Because otherwise, this might have flown under the radar. The CEO stuff might have flown under the radar to people.
Perhaps.
You have savvy eyes out there looking. I didn't look at LinkedIn at first. It was pointed out to me. I was like, okay, that's something. That's something, Ian. So, all right. Beginning of the end. I don't know if this is going to come out to the backers. I will say this. Sorry. Get your money back now, pre-order people. Get your $100 back now because there's no guarantee. And this company, in a few months, ain't going to have money to give you back anything. If you want your pre-order money back in 3 months, you may not. There'd be no capital left to do it. That's not a scare tactic. That's the reality based upon the filing. They're out of money. Get your $100 back now if you want it back.
Get it back.
Your money was used to keep this company afloat and for marketing materials for the next round. Oh, we got these pre-orders. Now we can 2600. Now we can do Fig. We got some more there. Now we can do Republic. That's how this has been daisy chained along. And it all happened with the Founders Edition 2 years ago. That's where this madness really started with it. So.
All right. I'm going to have to leave soon. This has been a long topic. Let's do 10 minutes of Q&A.
Oh, let's do the Patreon poll. We should do the Patreon poll topic instead.
Okay, we'll do the Patreon poll topic.
We'll skip Q&A this week then. I forgot. You have to go to work. So.
Yeah. No, I unfortunately today's looking busy. I really got to get home.
We have a Patreon, Ian, don't we?
We do. Patreon.com/CU podcast. You go, you pay, you get weekly writings, you get hangouts, you get the full video podcast, you get bonus podcast.
Bonus bits. Me versus the returning house mouse was this week's. And we have a poll topic. In second place, hardest NES boss fights, 29%. Really?
No one cares.
And in first place, games you are embarrassed to admit you enjoy at 71%.
Call of Duty Beauty.
Why Call of Duty, Ian?
Because I am not a military bro. I am not a gung-ho RR guy.
What?
I've never been particularly interested in wars or military maneuvers or weapons or tanks. But the amount of time I spent playing Call of Duty for Modern Warfare was probably some of the best video game memories.
Wow.
I have.
Back in the late aughts.
This was happening when you could still buy Sparks caffeinated malt liquor. Okay. I would drink a lot of Sparks caffeinated malt liquor.
Did not know that was a thing.
Well, there was Four Loko. That was caffeinated malt liquor, too. Sparks came
Jesus
first,
Christ.
Though.
So you can more quickly throw it up.
Yeah, and I would get real intense, and I would play those games until, like 4 in the morning. But, like, especially at the time, I was always known as, like, I played a lot of rhythm games, a lot of puzzle games. I've always played lots of cutesy games. So it was very confusing for people when they saw that my Xbox Live Arcade handle was constantly playing Call of Duty Modern Warfare 1 for, like, a year. That lightning only struck once, though. I did not get into Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2. Didn't even buy it. By the time 3 came out, I had moved on. I found nothing to replace that hole in my heart. It didn't spawn a particularly huge love of first-person shooters. I do like some of them, but like I play, you know, I might play one new one every 2 or 3 years. I don't, you know, there's a lot of people who play video games and that's like all they play. They've got the Call of Duties and the Battlefields and the Battlefronts and the things.
When you say you're embarrassed, though, were you like hiding this from your friends and colleagues?
I did kind of hide it. Yes, I did kind of hide it because it was just a very weird type of game for me to play. And I mean, I don't talk about it a lot on here, but I'm also like fairly vocally anti-war. So it was just weird to my friends at the time that I would be playing a game quite literally based on the Iraq
War. On warfare.
Yeah, on the Iraq War.
Was the first one in the Middle East, War on Warfare?
There was a lot of it in the Middle East, yeah.
They go all over. It's like James Bond. They travel all over.
So yeah, it was weird. It was definitely something that I kept to myself, didn't really talk about, except for in like the small circles of people that I did play it with, and we would plan our games and play.
Okay. Was there any other ones that come to mind, or was just that?
No, we've talked kind of about games that we've been ashamed to play before, but like
is different than embarrassment?
No, it's not, but I'm just trying, for the nature of this question, I'm trying to think of it as something slightly different.
Don't remind the Patreons that we did this like a year and a half ago. And
doing this for 8.5 years. It happens.
Yeah, I knew. Like, did we talk about this? I was like, yeah, a year and a half.
No, you're right, and I couldn't just think of how we phrased it.
Yeah, it was like we were ashamed of it. Wow, I don't think you ever told me that, Ian, before, that Call of Duty, because like you don't want your hippie friends to be like, oh, Ian,
they're not
like war.
I do not. I am not friends with hippies.
You know what I mean, though?
Yes.
Be like, Ian, you think they would look down on you or outcast you?
No, it didn't seem like something I needed to bring up in conversation.
It was like me being in a fraternity. I'm embarrassed by it.
Sure. There you go.
It's like a black eye on my sort of like my human record.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But then again, I wasn't in my late 20s when I did that. But not that I'm not shaming you, Ian. That's fine. It's a video game. It's fake.
Exactly. It's silly.
You know, so you're not embarrassed by like any, you know, like dead or alive, big titties juggling around sort of game. You never got into that sort of stuff?
I mean, I've played
Automodius Excellent.
Automodius Excellent. I don't talk about it a lot because there are some problems with the series, but I have played most of the Senran Kagura games.
What's that again?
I've played most of the Senran Kagura games.
No, what are those?
They're, for the most part, they are action games. But they involve women running around in bikinis, and the outfits fall off the more you hit them. There's never any nudity. But yeah, I've played like all.
So you're the protagonist, you're hitting the girls?
You're the protagonist. I mean, it's girl ninjas versus girl ninjas.
Oh, monsters. Okay. Yeah. And you hit the girls, they fall off,
and your clothes fall off, too.
So it's like a multi-stage Arthur from Ghosts and Goblins.
A little bit like that.
Yeah. Hey, that was the original eye candy, right? You're in your boxers after that. The male gaze was on Arthur's little heart-shaped little boxers. Was it a heart? Yeah.
And I mean, I do have I collect Mahjong games, and I love Mahjong games.
I wouldn't be ashamed of that.
But I do have an enormous amount of strip Mahjong games.
Okay, you didn't tell me that.
And they're fun to play.
And you said an enormous amount.
Oh, there are tons of them.
Tons and tons. So many of the Mahjong games released on systems like the PC Engine, the Super Famicom, they were girly Mahjong games.
You gotta spice it up, Ian.
Yeah, you do.
You gotta spice up the games.
Sega Saturn had a lot of them.
Because otherwise, you know, you get Mahjong's Mahjong, right? How else can you... It's a Mahjong game. You just change the tiles, but it's the same game, right? It doesn't change that much. There's a couple subsets, right? But it's same thing. Okay. I'll go into mine. What am I embarrassed to say I like? I love strip poker games. I haven't played them recently, but in college, I played a lot of them. What was the big one? Was it VST strip poker?
Yeah, because I used to love it.
That was one of the big commercial ones, one of the earlier ones that came out, and they had like packs. Was it called VST? Strip poker or something like that?
Yeah, it was something like that. I played it when I was younger, when it was still the JPEG packs that you loaded.
It was just JPEG packs.
Yeah, it was not videos.
Before they did videos, they would hire models to move around and do that. Strip poker game history, video game history. I'm looking up. Yeah, so I liked a lot of that. There was strip blackjack as well. We're talking like late 90s is when there was a ton of them. There was even browser ones, I remember.
Oh, yeah.
They probably had viruses attached looking back. And I always
probably.
I remember you go through like four or five different women, and the AI, they made the AI impossible to beat like the last ones, even though it should be random because it's blackjack.
Check. Yeah.
Or like poker. And they made it hard to like undress the last woman. I never forget that. It was really weird. It was a brunette too. I remember that. And I was like, I got through the four. Why don't you let me do the fifth one? Why can't you let me do that? Strip poker games. Yeah, they still make them. The evolution of strip poker games. Oh, there's a whole website that has it here. So strip poker, strip blackjack. They started in the 80s. There was a Samantha Fox had one on overseas computers. But it was like the graphics, obviously. I mean, come on. It was like 87 or so. And there it is. Samantha. It was on the Commodore 64 in the UK. It was only $1.99. $1.99, really? Two quid, as they say there. That was 86. And then you go on from there. Peekaboo poker. I probably am slightly embarrassed to say this. I have played some of the, they're probably earlier, some of the hentai dating sims.
Sure.
Where they're always like, you're a guy in a new high school
or
college, you know what I mean? And there's like three or four different girls, and it's kind of choose your own adventure-ish, you know?
I've tried to play some of those. My problem is the main character is always written, but like such a fucking complete jackass that I can't.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What do you mean? They're just like the dumb, or they say the wrong thing? They always make them faceless, so that like it's like a real RPG. When they show that it's like faceless.
Yeah, the writing is just very bad. I mean, granted, of course, but.
Yeah, that's not why you're getting it. You're getting it because you want to see like five or six. You want to see the four, girls, and then like there's usually like a teacher, involved. Who's hey, stay after class, Roy, whatever they name the guy. Other than just that, I was never really embarrassed about Leisure Suit Larry because to me that was a little bit more, a little more intelligent. There's jokes to it, and there's actually not that much nudity in those games at all.
No,
compared to the experience. Little. So it's really not about that. It's more about the sleazy experience with that. What about, is there any like console games, like old school ones that you were like you love like Wally Bear and stuff like that? Is there any one of those that you'd be like, I'm kind of weirded out. People know that I like this.
When I got into Dragon Warrior, when I got that, it was kind of an embarrassing thing to play just because it wasn't like embarrassing to, I didn't really care, but like I liked it, but it was when I first realized that there are certain games you can play with other people in the room. And then there are certain games you don't play with other people in the room. Like if a friend comes over, a friend doesn't want to watch you fucking play Dragon Quest.
You were embarrassed by your free Nintendo Power copy?
I mean, it wasn't like I said, embarrassment's not quite right, but it was just like, it felt weird. Yeah, I don't need to play this.
What do you do? You're just hitting A to fight constantly on these slimes for an hour and a half.
And Pretty much. And
what are the bats called? It's like the second enemy.
Drakeys in that Drakeys? Version.
Yeah, Drakeys. I was also going to say Draco. I was like, Drakey sounds right on that. Yeah, I mean, okay. What the patrons have to do is make sure that we don't ask this ever again. They make sure that this one never comes up. But hey, I guess if they forgot about it, we forgot too. Let's go to some of the comments on here. That's on YouTube. Said, I'm embarrassed. I voted for hardest boss fights. That's funny. Tom asked, what's the hardest you've ever gotten during a game you were embarrassed to play? That's actually probably apropos, probably. Thanks, Tom. that's intelligent. Embarrassed to admit, from Kanacha, Sonic R, only the Sega Saturn version, and Hyper Dimension Neptunia games when my wife is in the same room. What's so bad about Sonic R?
I don't know what would be bad about Sonic R, other than the fact it's got a very, boisterous soundtrack.
Joshua said, I'm embarrassed to admit I always dress the girls in the skimpiest outfits and buy the bikini DLC outfits. Thankfully, my wife is just as depraved as I am and doesn't care. Chris said Call of Duty.
Yeah, all right.
As well. So there you go.
Not the only one.
And finally, Needle says, none. If a game's fun, it's fun. End of story. It's not about being fun. It's about whether you want other people to know you think it's fun.
Right.
Then it's like, why do you think it's fun? Like, that's like, what's appealing to you? Oh, thanks for that question. We'll get back to voicemails next week.
Ian
has his day job.
I gotta go.
That's it for the podcast.
Bye, y'all.
Thank you so much. Again, we'll be at SoCal Retro Gaming Expo end of the month.
Looking forward to it.
At February 26th, 27th in Ontario, California. And yeah, other stuff happening that I can't talk about right now in Pat's life. All right, we'll see you next week. I'm gonna get that mouse.